How was your week? What were the news stories and the conversations? Acumen Media breaks it down for us.
My name is Tonya Curry, and this is this week's Acumen Media Report. It's entitled, The Battle for the Soul of South Africa. I was expecting a massive build-up for Sonar 22, and I wasn't disappointed. What struck me immediately was the lack of hope amongst the anchors, their guests, and certainly social media. The same president who said Tumamina, the same president who waved in a new dawn, was the same president we expected nothing from at all for Sonar 2022. We were wrong. I'm delighted to tell you that our president is back, good people. And short of listing a set of names and telling them to exit left to meet the NPA at the door, he delivered this exact message with a little more decorum. I'm getting ahead of myself, so let's start at the beginning. The ceremony kicked off with a great deal of fanfare. Marching bands, the army, planes flying overhead, and even the bagpipes were out. I didn't understand that bit. The Sonar 2022 theme colour? A gluttonous gold, draped across the city hall in Cape Town. The red carpet was swollen with outfits that cost far more than 350 rand, and we felt that. State of our nation. A quarter of a million people engaged on social media about Sonar 2022, and they weren't happy at the start. The president arrived in an enviable motorcade and made his way with pinpoint timing to the lavish event. His opening line was directed at the RET. He called our constitution the most beautiful constitution in the world. And with that, he gave Lindiwe Sisulu and her RET crew a big jab. It was at this point that my eyes left Twitter and actually focused on the television screen. What was this guy doing? Was he doing exactly what we were begging for? A huge colour of the rot and a set of orange overalls? Surely not. Was he actually going to put the tender swindlers behind bars? Save the soul of South Africa. In a marathon speech that lasted almost 2 hours, the president built his narrative up with charming success stories from efforts of governments in the past year. We didn't buy these tales of achievement. They were minor compared to the devastation that surrounds the country, state of our nation. And then a smile crept over his face. He made the massive announcement that South Africa was going to pioneer the hemp industry. Basically, weed was going to save us. Twitter laughed, but at the same time applauded what is a natural and needed resource taking front and center stage at the Sonar address. So we have a plan, guys. We're going to sell weed. The audience was still giggling, but the president's wry smile was gone as he dropped the first set of humbling grenades on his own team. He said it was time for big leadership changes. Yeah. He said that the cabinet was responsible for the July riots, insurrection, if you will. I almost spat up my coffee and so did the audience. No one expected that. He repeated it and said that it was time for action against the cabinet and serious protection for whistleblowers. SOS South Africa. And he wasn't done. He said that those that are implicated in the PPE tender fraud would be severely dealt with. He said that state capture did happen and that there would be justice for our country. You could hear the unease amongst the benches. He also admitted for the first time that there was a battle for the soul of South Africa and he needed all the help he can get. And just like that, friends, our president was back. There were some interesting bits. He apparently was wearing fashini and a local shoe manufacturer, and he said that local is lekker and to support local enterprise. He told the ridiculous story of how someone had saved 350 rand grant money and started a small street food stall and made their way out of poverty. That was a line too far. We didn't believe that, and even if it was true, Mr. P, this was something not to crow about. He came out with some downright weird stuff too. He said that 95 bridges will be built this year. Isn't that random? Well, wait until you hear who's building the bridges. The SANDF. He went on to say the SANDF have great engineering minds. Really? Anyway, I'll take your bridges if you bring on the consequences for the plundering of my country, state of my nation. He said there was far too much red tape in our country and the SMMEs should be paid on time. Hear, hear. He appointed Mr. Nkosi to be the red tape cutter. That sounds like someone who's been hired to slice through ribbons at the opening of the bridges, doesn't it? But I'm going to let it slide because there is, of course, the battle of the soul of South Africa at stake. He said the state of national disaster would be lifted but didn't commit to a date. I got that. The minute he announces a date, we have to restart paying, we have to start repaying the debt. Money we simply do not have. He spoke of hydrogen as a resource and he took a swipe at greedy Gwede Mantashe by saying that all projects would consider the strict environmental regulations and would use green technology. He ended by taking a good hard look at the audience and he said that the looting time is over. It's time to take control. I pray this wasn't lip service. It didn't feel like lip service. I heard a man in control. Even his tie, the red tie of the power hungry, hung easily around his neck with a badly tied knot. A symbol, perhaps? We were taking back our power and it won't be easy, but it's also not a noose around our necks. SOS, SA. Outside of this event, a fire started in Durban at a liquor store. Flames flew high up ahead. We all know what happened there. We will not be played. There was huge news all week. I could barely keep track. Last week, we followed the JSC interviews, which resulted in an attack on Dalian Porphyry for his infantile behavior in court. The attack came from all quarters, media and within the ranks of the judiciary themselves. Of course, hands off Dalian Porphyry started to trend. Yawn. This was after Adrian Besson called him Porphyry a nincompoop. It's a cool word, right? But not for a silk. Look, Dali is ridiculous, but he's a silk. And as such, Mr. Besson, it's not your place to launch an attack on his credentials. What saved you was your thoughts. Let's say our thoughts. Because they were the thoughts of the entire higher echelons of the judiciary. A nincompoop indeed. Enter the July riots. I refuse to call it July riots. I call it what it is, a coup d'etat. An insurrection. Riots implies that South Africans were willing participants. Nothing can be further from the truth. We were played. That report reads like a bad telenovela. Lack of resource, snail-paced responses to a third force, infighting, a dramatic lack of action by Kaya Sotole that was so outrageous one could call it treasonous. In fact, the misbehavior of the internal faction of the ANC should be tried for treason as a whole. Yet we are still watching little fires everywhere. The blue train went off this week along with another pesky homeless person who broke into the SSA. No kidding. Someone else stole hard drives from City of Joburg. Letaba Power Station was sabotaged. And these are just the stories we are aware of. The state of our nation. In other news, that woman who got a bonus, not bonus, from ENSFAS was found guilty and has to pay back the money. But what was she thinking, actually? Mara Phones, the only South African mobile producer, went bust. Social media pointed fingers at Chantal Yankees, but no one looks to the IDC. Tshwane, devastated by flooding, had its electricity turned off in most government departments. This is our capital city, guys. They're government offices that are now in darkness because they didn't pay their bills. That's the state of the nation. My favorite story this week, and likely to be the best feeling for any entrepreneur. McCarthy's case against Vodacom. The court ruled he was entitled to 5% of all Vodacom's revenues for a 10-year period. Vodacom have rebutted, obviously, but McCarthy has won. This little guy got justice against the giant. McCarthy, we see you, a mandler. Then the death of Coolie Roberts shook the nation, an unexpected and traumatic loss for our country. The Tinder swindler took over social media feeds as it opened on Netflix, here at home especially as he made reference to being in a South African jail. South Africans have made a meal of Simon Lviv by using his WhatsApp conversations to take over advertising specials, and it was so fun. Check out Checkers' 60-60 captions for Peter Hertz. You will laugh. It's so clever. Across more waters, we saw the Winter Olympics, the Brit Awards, and the Oscars make an impact. The Queen celebrated 70 years on the throne and announced that Camilla would be referred to as Queen when Charles was King. Who cares? Where's Andrew? You're not going to believe this, but as part of his defense, he is stating that the image of him with Epstein, Ghislaine, and an underage girl was photoshopped after a painting was done of the teen. A painting. I kid you not, this is his defense. They don't even care, do they, these predators? We saw the death of Ryan. The world wept for the toddler as he lost his life underground where his family couldn't get to him. To God we return, Ryan. May your family find ease. The most ludicrous thing I've seen this week, and I've seen a lot, is the pregnant man emoji. I hate to tell you, good people of Apple, men can't get pregnant. I don't care which personal pronoun you use. On that note, I'm taking it next week as a break. I'm going diving where the biggest concern is how close you can get to that shark. If you celebrate V-Day, enjoy. My date is with a ragged tooth and she's beautiful. I'm Tonya Khoury and you've just scratched the surface with Acumenedia.